is wonderful to have you here, and I really hope that as we dig into the scriptures together, we can have our hearts built up and nourished at this really important time for us as a church. And I just thought I'd encourage you as well to say that, you know, we don't believe that just God's going to start now working next week. He's been doing some wonderful things in these past weeks. And, you know, last Sunday, that was amazing, wasn't it? The two folks getting baptized, the dedications and the sense of just God at work in their lives. And, you know, actually on the Friday just before that, we didn't say last Sunday, but there'd been a baptism at Friendship Center. Pam, who is a regular at Friendship Center, was baptized right here on the previous Friday. And then this Friday just gone, actually Keith Huber's mum, who doesn't able to really make it down here for the Sunday, but obviously he's been witnessing to her and sharing the gospel with her, and she's been wanting to get baptized, and so Philip and Keith baptized her in the sea just this past Friday. As well as that, this week it was just a joy. I passed through the cafe and I noticed that Sue Stone and Philip were meeting with a CAP client, just someone who's wrestling with debt. And one of the things we long for is not just help them out of debt, but help them discover the wonder of Jesus. And Phil just mentioned to me later that they had an opportunity to pray with her, and she responded to Christ. And, you know, I'm just thinking, God, this is wonderful. You are at work. You are good news for people. And we get in these coming weeks to continue to share of this Jesus. So my hope and prayer is that as we turn to the scriptures now, our delight in Jesus Christ would grow. That we would have stuff welling up within us this week where we're like, we want to tell people about this wonderful person, Jesus Christ. And we're in this I Am series, this series that Jesus points to just his greatness, that he is God come to earth to meet us. And today we're looking at I Am the Bread of Life. Just going to pick up the reading in John chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, it will really help you to get one in your hand. This is the way we get to know Jesus best, is by digging into the scriptures. This is like, food to us. And Jesus comes in that and says he is what the scriptures point to. He is the food that we can dig into. And so we're looking at page 1070, John chapter 6. Jesus has fed the 5,000. He's walked on water, and we're only halfway through John chapter 6. And now the crowds, unsurprisingly, are following him, and they want to hear more. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 25. There are two little times in John chapter 6 where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And we're going to look at the verses surrounding each. So we'll start at John 6, verse 25, and we'll read first there. So here's what it says. When they found him, that's the crowd, on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And so they asked him, well, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then we're going to jump forward to verse 47. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And we'll pause there. You know, I've been trying to learn a few more verses recently, just get back into that great habit. I hope you're doing that. Here's a great verse for you to learn today. John chapter 6, verse 48. Should we say it together? I am the bread of life. Should we say it one more time? I am the bread of life. John 6, 48. Don't look. What is John 6, 48? I am the bread of life. Hold on to that. And let's dig in. Jesus, speak to us, I pray. We want to see more clearly what this means, that we might find our souls satisfied afresh and overflowing with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I lost my appetite at the beginning of this past week. Which is a strange thing for me, and you usually love my food, as many of you know. But, last Sunday night I was sick. I had this sickness bug that was going around and actually was pretty badly ill. I didn't feel great, actually, even last Sunday. And, Monday morning I woke up and I just knew I just needed a rest. And I just had no appetite, absolutely no appetite at all. And I thought, I was going to be ill again. And, when you're just kind of hobbling around and you feel absolutely rough. I remember that got to about Monday lunchtime and I thought, I've got no strength whatsoever. I'm going to need to eat something. And I, I just put a piece of toast in the toaster and, toasted it. And then I was like, I just better have some of this. And Monday afternoon, I was just eating a bit of bread. I thought, please let it stay down. And it did. And then Monday evening came, and I wanted more toast. Oh, I wanted more toast. And Tuesday morning came, and my appetite was back, and it was good thing. I enjoyed my breakfast so much all this week. I've been loving my food. It's been delightful. And I tell you what, appetite is a good thing. And actually, sometimes when you're not well or you're ill for a season, you know what it is like to lose your appetite in all kinds of ways. And I tell you what, appetite is a good thing. But what we do when we have that appetite, where we go to with our hunger, that is so often very revealing as to whether we know what's good for us. Are we going to go to the junk food? Or are we going to go to something that's going to help us, strengthen us, and restore us? So I want to ask this morning, what are you and I hungry for? Because Jesus says that actually hunger is a good thing. He even says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So there are some things that it's great to hunger for. So what are you hungry for? And the people here in John chapter 6, there we go. That cools it down wonderfully, actually. I was thinking last week that maybe the spotlights made it too hot, so that's all right. Here we go. Focus on this here. John chapter 6, Jesus says, verse 26, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. There were crowds surrounding Jesus. And you might think, well, that's great, they're looking for Jesus. But actually, what they were looking for was just more food. They wanted something for their stomachs. That's why they were following Jesus. Jesus kind of discerns that this crowd, they're not just after him. They're after this bread that they've had in their stomachs from the feeding of the 5,000. And he thought, this guy can put supper on our plates again. Come on, Jesus, you can do this. And he says in verse 27, look what he says with me. This is quite like a disco, isn't it? It's brilliant. It's the bits when the light's on. That's the bit they really focus on. Okay, here we go. 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Jesus says, you see, it makes a difference what you're working for, not just what you're hungry for. You know, there's often a connection. What are we working for? What are we putting our time and energy and effort in? Not just our kind of paid work, but what's the thing we're kind of really wanting to see happen, that we're investing our time and energy and effort? You know, maybe it is to put kind of food on the table. Or maybe it's to actually be kind of more popular, to have others think more highly of us. Maybe it's to, people sort of be more kind of attracted to us, maybe particularly people of the opposite sex. And so we're really kind of working, as it were, for that, for kind of sexual pleasure or for better relationships and more friendships. Maybe actually we're working for money. We really just want more cash in the bank or in our hand, more things that we can get. What are you and I working for? What's the thing we're really, really kind of saying, well, I'm going to invest my time and energy and effort, my best days of my life for this? And, you know, some good things you can do. You know, food is great. As I said, I really enjoyed my bread. And I wondered about having a little prop today, which was to give everyone a little bit of bread and keep it in your wallet for the next, you know, 6 months. And you know, that'd be a reminder. But you know why you don't want to keep it in your pocket for the next 6 months? Partly because it's just 50-50 loaf. But it's actually going to go moldy, isn't it? It's going to spoil. And then I could say, well, guys, let's all eat a little bit of it and that will satisfy your hunger. And you'd go, well, David, a little bit of bread, even a whole meal, even a massive meal, like a wedding banquet. You get hungry again after it. It satisfies you for a bit. And the same is true of all these things, whether it's kind of fame or popularity or you know, great sex or amazing kind of bonus or pay or whatever it is. It satisfies maybe for a moment, for a time, for a season, but then you're hungry again. You want more money. And Jesus calls all that food that spoils. Look at John 6:27. Do not work for food that spoils. Jesus wants to point us to something that endures to eternal life. So what are you working for? And Jesus says, why not work for food that endures? And so they ask him a question. It's a great question. It's a question, actually, that I remember someone on Alpha. Alpha, we encourage people to ask their questions. And one of the things that we prompt people sometimes with, I remember when I was leading an Alpha table once, I said, so if you could ask God one question, what would it be? Very revealing what people answer to that. And this one lady, I remember very clearly, Zoe, she thought about it and she said, I would ask God this. God, what do you want me to do? I had never heard anyone on Alpha ask a question like that. God, what do you want me to do? Great question. If you believe God's there, and I'm hoping you're here and want to worship him because there's something in you that believes that God is there. And this girl Zoe, she obviously believed that God was there. And if God is there, and I find actually in my conversations with people, most people really do believe there's a God. And if you believe there's a God, what better question to ask than, God, what do you want me to do? You're God. I'm not. So what do you want me to do? And they ask this question in verse 28, don't they? Look down with me. Then they asked him. He's just been talking about the work that is going to endure. So they said, well, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Great question. And how's Jesus going to answer? What's he going to say? Well, you know, we know he thinks love's really important. Maybe he's going to say, love your neighbor. Maybe he's going to say, you know, do good or live a better life. Or what's Jesus going to say that we should do? Well, look at what he says, because I think unless you know this really well, it's surprising. And actually, it's kind of amazing that this is the thing he points them to so clearly. Look down at verse 29. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. What does God want you and I to do? He wants us to believe in Jesus. And they get that he's talking about Jesus because he goes on in verse 30 and says, this is the crowd then. They say, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? They know that he's saying that he is the one sent from heaven. And so Jesus says, believe in me. That's what you need to do. You need to come and believe in me. And they then sort of refer back to Moses and at the time of the kind of Passover and the Exodus from Egypt, where the Israelites in this journey were given bread from heaven. It was a miracle. It was an amazing miracle. It sustained them in the desert every day, except for the Sundays because on the Friday they got twice the bread they need. Every day this bread came down from heaven, the manna. of 6, verse 31. Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus says to them, actually, it wasn't Moses who gave you that bread, it was God. And God's got even better bread. He calls it here, verse 33, the true bread. Verse 32, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Way better bread than this. True bread that gives life to the world. And he encourages them, come and receive this bread. It's not just that he wants to give them bread. Look at what he says then in verse 35 when they say, from now on, give us this bread. Jesus says, look, I'm not just going to give you something. I am the gift, he says. I am the gift. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He's inviting them, come to him. He is the gift. He's the manna. He's the one we need to find our satisfaction, to find our sustaining, to find our strength. Jesus is the one that we need to come to, that we might not hunger, that we might not be those who have this kind of emptiness inside. He is the bread of life. I want to ask this morning, though, why not just say the bread? Why not Jesus just say, I am the bread? After all, he's going to say, I am the light, or I am the way. I am the bread. It's a bit more punchy, isn't it? You know, wouldn't that have been better? Why the bread of life? Why this emphasis on the life bit? Well, look with me in the passage here, and I think we're going to see that there's actually as much in this life, if not more, that Jesus wants to give as the kind of bread analogy, because he kind of reiterates time and time again this enduring nature of what he wants to give. So look with me at verse 39. At the end of 39, he says that he's going to raise up on the last day those who come to him. This wonderful picture of resurrection life. And in verse 40, he puts it like this. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Or verse 47 that we turned to earlier. I tell you the truth. He who believes has, what's the word? Everlasting life. And then verse 50, he says this. But here is bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. And verse 51, anyone who eats of this bread will live forever. You see, the thing is, this manna that they ate before, it sustained them, it helped them. If they hadn't had it in the desert, they wouldn't have got 2 days in. They needed it to sustain them and help them. If you like, it gave them life as they went along. But what we read in verse 49 is this. Look down at verse 45. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. The manna didn't actually give them eternal life. Whereas this manna, this bread of life that Jesus gives, is something amazing. It gives us eternal life. What you and I are seeking to share with Brighton and Hove, with Wales, is eternal life that can be found in Jesus Christ. An amazing offer, an amazing promise. This is the work. Then to believe, to receive, to take hold of, to come to him, to receive in him this life that we've been thinking about in 1 Corinthians 15, that resurrection series, this life that Jesus kind of displayed with his resurrection, this first fruits that then he offers to us. And in a few of our songs earlier, we were talking about the fact that we're going to be praising him forever. And I was just thinking about this wonderful fact of, guys, you and I get to praise God together forever and ever. It's amazing. Like forever. You know, and you know, we don't get loads of time together at the moment, but we're going to get eternity praising God forever. How cool is that? And if you believe in Jesus, if you've come and received this eternal life, you get to enjoy this God forever and ever. And we get to do it together. That's a long time. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, so is this faith like, is it a good work we need to kind of bring then to the table? If you look back at this thing that we've got to believe, this is the verse 29, you know, the work that God is this, to believe in the one who sent. Is this work like a good work that I bring to the table, as it were? God, you do all the rest, I'll bring the faith. You know, I'll bring the good work. Well, interestingly, it doesn't say the work of our work is this. They've asked this question, what's the work that God requires? But interestingly, Jesus answers, the work of God is this. It's like this belief is even a work that God does in us. It's like a gift. Not just do we receive grace, but even the faith that takes hold of the grace is somehow Jesus working in our lives, folks. It's amazing, the grace of God to us. A very famous, wonderful verse, which is up here on the screen. I'm going to read together while I have a sip of water and get that bread out of my mouth. Here we go. Ephesians 2:8-9. Do you want to read this with me? By grace, you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Beginning of verse 9, what does that say? Not by works. So even our faith, it's not like a good work that we can then boast about and say, oh yeah, and I've got great faith, this is what I've done. No, 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 it's not by works, it's all of grace. None of us can boast. But here's the question that I want to spend the rest of the time wrestling with. If our faith is this most precious thing, this believing in Jesus and taking hold of Him, do we have to work at our faith? Do we have to work at our faith? Faith's not a good work that we kind of bring to the table, but do we have to work at our faith, folks? What do you think? Do you want to turn to your neighbor? Do you think you need to work at your faith? Yes or no? It's tough one, isn't it? Let me say this. It's a really important tension here. And if you said no, I want you to hear this. There's a really important yes that you've got to get. And if you said yes, I want you to hear there's a really important no that you've got to get. Because in this very passage, we're going to see both of these things. Do we have to work at our faith? Absolutely, yes. Do you have to work at your faith? Absolutely no. Isn't that wonderful? Here we go. Okay? I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. There seems to be something here of an invitation saying, come, and some won't. In fact, the very next verse, he says, and look at this, verse 36. As I told you, you have seen me, and you still don't believe. They're not believing. They're right there. There are others who will come. And in fact, Jesus, in this stuff about being the I am, the bread of life, the not just the giver of gifts, but the gift himself, Jesus kind of loses people. You know, at the beginning, there's crowds following Jesus. But at the end of this passage in John chapter 6, pretty much everyone's leaving. It's like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Jesus' claims are so massive that you and I, we've got to really work and come to him and say, this faith, there's so much more here. This is where I've got to be seeing and savoring and being satisfied. I want to read this. I found so helpful from John Piper. He says when he's come to this verse, which has ministered so much to him, he says this, Jesus is what I hunger and thirst for. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry, and whoever believes in me shall never be thirsty. And that doesn't mean that hunger and thirst do not rise up in my soul every day. But it means now we know what it's for. Now we know where to turn to. Now we know what to eat and what to drink. We eat and drink this never-ending supply of Jesus Christ. We swallow Jesus down. We drink his glory. And there is always more to enjoy. This is what we were made for. So faith that saves us, Piper says, is being satisfied with all that God is for us in Jesus Christ. And when you see that saving faith is being satisfied with all that God is for you in Jesus Christ, then the good fight of the faith in 1 Timothy 6 becomes a fight for joy. The fight of faith is the fight for joy, and the fight for joy is doing whatever you must to see Jesus for who he is and Savior Jesus above all things. Do you have joy today, guys? Great joy. Are you satisfied? Because if not, there's no reason not to. Fight for joy. Work at it. Dig into the scriptures. Get time with Jesus today. Don't leave this place without knowing that you have receive from him all that you need, because all that you lack is just seeing more clearly this wonderful Jesus. I was saying to some of the elders recently that this last few months I've had to fight harder for my joy. keep coming to scriptures, keep coming to Jesus and digging into him, receiving from him. I was remembering as I was preparing this a wonderful book that I read about 7 years ago, bless the socks of me, is David Wilkinson, Hungry for More of Jesus. And even as I was preparing it and remembering the title, I just thought, you know what, I want to be hungry today for more of Jesus. Because there's more of him, folks. I know, Mary, I know this in you. You've been following Jesus for so many years, and yet you want to know him more. There's more, folks. There's more of this Jesus for you and I to discover. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Do you want to see and savor him more? One of the things I've been praying for us as a church, we have a greater appetite. Appetite for life. Because if we have a greater appetite for life, we're going to discover that Jesus is life. And that will give us a greater appetite for him. And there's always more of him. How's your appetite at the moment? Are you hungry? Come, believe and enjoy and be satisfied again with Jesus. Let him strengthen you. Let him sustain you. Let him be your all in all. Feed on him. You know, this is something we need to work at time and time again. In the scriptures, you see that faith needs to be proved or exercised. So through our giving, we exercise faith and we prove our faith. Through our praying, we show that we believe that he is worthy and able. Through our giving of our time, as Claire so helpfully shared some weeks back about how this world, this culture we live in, kind of sometimes doesn't notice the giving of material things so much as the giving of our time becomes so precious. And when we do that, we prove that he's worth it. Jesus is worth it. There's a proving and an exercising of our faith that happens during this week of mission and in other times as well. But it's not just that faith needs exercising, working out in that way. Faith needs feeding. Are you feeding your faith? There is so much in the scriptures about how faith comes from hearing the word of God. Great, you're here. Oh, I'm thrilled to see you. This is feeding your faith. And it didn't take nothing. You had to get up and come here, and there'll be days where the enemy whispers in the ear, you don't need to bother today. Don't listen to it. You need to work at your faith. You need to get here. People I find who are complacent about their faith, complacent about times in the Word of God, complacent about getting to church or community life, you know what happens? Their faith shrivels. Don't be one of them. Let's be those that work at our faith, that feed our faith. There's that old adage, isn't there? You are what you eat. Are you eating more of God's word? Are you feeding on Christ in your heart by faith, the bread of life? Do we need to work at our faith? What's the answer? What's the answer, folks? Do we need to work at our faith? No! No! No. We hold on to Christ. But I tell you what, he's holding on to us something far, far better. It's a motto of the college that Tim and I studied at when we were doing our master's, Spurgeon's College in London. It says, et tenio, et tenior. I hold and I'm held. Yes, we have to hold. But I tell you what, his holding of us is far, far, far better, far stronger, far more wonderful. Look with me at John chapter 6 again. And he says this, you know, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But look what he then says in verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus doesn't do his own will, he does the will of him who sent me. So what's the Father's will? Verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me. You've got to see this here in the scriptures, just so you're going to see it with me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. How many is he not to lose, Jesus? None of them. Jesus says the Father's will is that I lose none of those that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus basically is saying, look, the Father doesn't want me to lose any of you, and I'm obedient to my Father and able to do what he says. And we see that time and time again in Jesus. So does Jesus lose anyone? No. None of those that are his, he loses. He doesn't lose you. He's not going to lose you. He's not going to let go of you. If you're looking to him, if you're holding on him, he's got a hold of you and he's holding on tight. And you're not going to be lost. It is a wonderful doctrine time and again in the scriptures. We see it many, many places. Sometimes called the perseverance of the saints. It means that when God's really got a hold of you, hey, you are secure. You know what I find so many times that I'm hungry for? What I find in people time and time and time again that they're hungry for is security. You hungry for security? Maybe you're wanting security in friendship or in a relationship or in your job or in finance. Or maybe you've even moved to this country because of trouble in your own land. And there's so many who move thousands of miles, leave homes to find safety and security. Jesus is the place we find security. For those who come to him, he will never drive away, and he will never lose one of those who come to him. He's got you. Do you feel like you're slipping sometimes? He's got you. Do you feel worried that it all depends on you? It doesn't. He's got you. Yeah, you're trying to hold on to him. It's good to do that. Keep feeding your faith, all that. But he's got you. That's the thing I want you to hear as we come to an end today. He's got you. And he will raise you and I up on the last day. We'll get to enjoy him forever, eternal life. It'll be fantastic. Guys, this is immense. This is glorious. This is like awesome. And we get to share this with others. To say, look, there's life in Jesus Christ. There's hope for the hungry. Those hungry deep in their souls. Those hungry for security or satisfaction or strength or sustenance. It's in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. So as we come this morning, enjoy him. Enjoy him. He's got you. If you've got him, you've got life. And let's pause in this moment. And just enjoy, like you're coming to a banqueting table. I know there's times where if Jesus speaks one word to me, that's enough. That'd get me through the day. Just one word. Jesus comes and just reminds me that he loves me, he's for me, he's got me. Yeah. As we go into this week, we need to be those who are knowing and overflowing with this wonderful security that we have in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to invite the band to just come up. They're just going to play a bit. Jesus, be the center. As I just pray, I'm going to pray that God would just nourish your heart and that you can stand or sit or kneel. We're just going to allow this wonderful thought of who Jesus is to minister to us. Jesus, just as the band come forward, we want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that you offer us not just something, you offer us yourself. You say, I am the bread of life, and we receive you gladly. We come to you in faith and rejoice in you, Lord. We want to feed on you in our hearts, Lord. We want to say you're everything to us, Lord. And we just say, be the center. Be right here now, Lord. What it's all about for each one of us, that we would know that above anything we do for you, Lord, Lord, it's us taking hold of you by faith. And Lord, this thing about being secure in you, having taken hold of us, Lord, may we rejoice and enjoy that in a wonderful way right now. Please, Jesus, come, Holy Spirit.